Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
And how is the coronavirus going, Philip? Are you fitting
well? I'm just about in a different postcode here today, Rick, aren't we?
Well, we are.
Sitting that far away, I can hardly see you.
I can vaguely see you, but I tell you
you're
what...
You're better looking further away.
Well, you're not, because I'm using binoculars, because they're the ones I normally take in the footy. I didn't realise ordinary your face
was. We've got over that. No, all good at the moment.
Good.
Touch wood.
They've let you out of Williamstown. Town and everything.
Not in there. I haven't been back there for a fortnight. All good. I'm just at Mawson's and that's it.
So, right, very good. Well, I reckon we can't avoid talking about the AFL and the effects that this coronavirus has created. They're shot to pieces, the AFL.
Never be the same, will it, Rick? I think we're talking just before the show that in our lifetimes, whatever that might be, 1, 10, 20 years, whatever it is, it'll never quite be the same, will it?
Well, in my mind, there's no way it can be the same because although no one could see anything like this happening, I reckon the AFL, together with many other big sporting industries, have been living on borrowed time. And this is easy to say now with hindsight, but as it were, the money's just kept rolling in.
Oh, absolutely.
Television rights, look at the IPL in India. I mean, it's just disproportionately out of all proportion. And so, as a consequence of that, if you ignore, which we won't, the player payments, then you've got all this management, middle management, junior middle management, all on ridiculous salaries.
And the coaches, centre coach, forward coach, back coach.
And just like in all other industries, particularly the last umpteen years, the non-sporting industries, everyone's been trying to cut costs and use, which is a pretty reasonable phrase, trim the fat.
Mm.
Well, the fat within the AFL, if we go back to where we were started, is just ginormous.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, only I think it was our last show or the show before. We were talking there's 12 on 890,000, whatever it
plus
was.
Plus the CEO plus on the CEO. 2 million plus.
Yeah. I mean, how does that survive?
Well,
it's all right when they're getting paid 417 million from Channel 7 for the footy rights and things like that. But that's all gone.
That's right.
We won't see that again, I don't think.
Well, it's certainly, as it were, the new world, whenever it arrives, will be open to renegotiation.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that all of a sudden, people, not particularly those who've been on the gravy train, won't be happy about it. But all of a sudden, there's going to be a new look and a new rearrangement of all this. I mean, just take why, because you could, but why have 45 players or whatever it is on an AFL squad? I mean, it's ridiculous. Half of them have never played AFL football. Never will. In the end, get traded, having never played a game. Every one of them is on more money than a whole Sandful side put together. Mm. For what reason?
Yeah.
Because the AFL kept giving or handing out money so that you could keep up 45. But you don't need 45 players.
And then it all goes down. It's a big vicious circle because it goes down. Then they get delisted from there. They go to, a country club, and they're on big bucks and bleeding the country cubs, because they've been on an AFL list. I've seen it in the Barossa League, I mean, it's just a big circle, isn't it?
It is a huge circle. And
and it won't keep going. It can't.
Well, the chain, I guess, has been broken, by any other reason than this. But I think it's the old let's have a look at the mirror and see that this has just become an inflated, overgrown, ridiculous concept.
Mm.
And it's got to change. And unlike a couple of our friends who might suggest that it will be back to normal in 5 years.
We won't see it in our time.
I can't see. Because apart from anything else, no matter what, even on an individual basis, where people are being excused to pay home loans or whatever for 6 months, it's not as if they're not going to have to pay them.
That's
it's just
right.
that it's just been delayed.
It's only a delay.
And so the interest on the non-payment is accruing, and that's going to be the whole concept.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then you have to wonder, the AFL puts their hand up, says, oh, here we are. We are big, powerful people. Boys club, how about a couple of you banks lend us $600 million? Now, it seems to me that the biggest reason they want $600 million is to try and recreate what has just fallen over because there's no revenue coming in.
Yep.
Now, you know, I mean, okay, you say, well, listen, you know, Marvel Stadium, we own that. But, I mean, it's not much point owning...
what are you playing there?
Well, there's not much point owning Marvel Stadium, or even if you were forced to sell it.
Two guys playing marbles.
I'm not sure. No one's allowed inside the place.
That's right.
Oh. So... there is a lot checking and reviewing to be done.
All the bad that's happened with this virus, Rick, one thing is we're back to the basic. We're going to get back to the basic, aren't we? Probably only a couple coaches. You know, it's going to be more of a basic footy.
Well, I ask
sport you... sport in general, yeah, really.
Yes. I ask you, Phil, and I ask our listeners, how can it be that the most powerful and inverted commas... richest code of sport in this football code of sport in this country, I think last year turned over $1.09 billion, not million, billion. And yet, out of 18 clubs, only one of them could turn over a figure in the black.
And they're not a Victorian club either.
Well, they're not. No. And they are very special because they have had a huge amount of success. They're virtually in another country over in Perth, and they have a huge, makes Collingwood or Richmond look second rate, huge supporter base, huge corporate base, and they have a unique concept.
Mm.
And so...
And we're talking about West Coast Eagles, not Freo.
And, you know, nevertheless, it is just ridiculous that 17 other clubs are running in the red.
Surely Collingwood could be.
Well...
181 people on their books.
Well, there you go.
You know, I mean, you can't run.
Well, you've got to cut the fat. You've got to cut everything down. I mean,
that is ridiculous.
You know, they've probably got 20 people sitting around in their membership office, you know. And,
that's right.
And the Collingwood supporters will ring up to become a member. They don't need...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just using that as an example. But it's just all the fat, the overinflation because... apologies to Vita fans out there, but the money just kept rolling in.
Yeah. And now it's, I see in the papers and on the TV, the SANFL clubs, it's filtering down to them. They've got Westies crying out. We've got Centrals, Port Maggies, and I believe there's another club. Can't think of it off the top of my head.
Well, the reality...
Three or four of them really crying out.
Well, the reality is that most of those clubs, in general terms, have tried to keep the doors open because you've got falling, you know, attendances at Sandford games, et cetera, et cetera. And what they've tried to do is almost, as it were, branch into another business, and that's called the entertainment business by doing up their their club rooms to turn them into restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. Now, apart from the fact that legally they're not allowed to open, so the businesses run dry, which is no one's fault except the virus.
Yep.
However, what people forget is that their overheads are still there.
That's right.
They've probably borrowed three quarters of a meal to do up their clubhouse to turn it into a restaurant. So they are running close to the bone. And it wouldn't surprise me to see. Well, I think there's, can't even remember what they're called now. I think Carlton have wiped their hands of their...
Oh, yes, it is the bull ants or something they're called, I think they were called.
And I don't think that will be the only one going around, to be honest.
I mean, Port Maggies are the same. They've 10 years ago, they were struggling, you know, when Port came in and...
Yes.
They got out of it, but only just. But they're in dire straits again.
Well, if I remember correctly, and it could be that I'm doing it not correctly, but I think it's probably half a dozen, 10 years ago that Sturt were in huge strife.
Yep.
And then they undid their rooms.
Yep.
Turned it into eating, you know, lunches, etc., etc. Now, again, I don't know what their financial state is, but they're going to service alone that that they've got no income coming in at the present time.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how it's going. It's certainly going to change.
Well,
the sporting.
Well, the very thing, and we are sticking to footy at the moment, only because it's a good example. But it's the money from the AFL generated mainly through television, Foxtel, Channel 7, etc., etc., that has been at a very expensive methodology with the board getting the money they're getting. But money has been shelled out to not only the AFL clubs, but then the Sandfords and the Waffles.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And the reality is that if you're at the bottom end of the ladder, that's even less you're going to get. And the AFL, possibly in their wisdom, will look at things they can cut, i.e. light. 45 players down to 35 or whatever. You know, a limitation perhaps on the number of coaches you can have and assistants you can have.
Be.
And
I mean, it's
because it's just been ridiculous.
It has. I mean, we've joked about it here for the 100 and something shows we've done about the AFL, how many coaches and, you know, what they must spend. And now it's reality is set in and they've got to go back to their basics, and that's simple as it's going to be.
Well, I mean, In the last 10 years, the amount of money that's been generated and then eventually paid out has just been out of disproportionate to anything that possibly should have been. And it's just silly.
It is.
And, of course, it applies to all other professional sport. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, America's obviously got its problems with the virus. They've closed down lots, but of course they've got a huge population, possibly
pull them out,
will mean eventually when we recover they'll bounce out a bit quicker than a relatively small country like our own.
Yes, and what else we got, Rick?
Well, listen, how about, did you hear about the two rowers?
No.
They went to Denmark for a sex change operation. And guess what? They finished up winning the Olympic gold medal in the Olympics for the cockless pairs.
Oh, no.
Hey?
That's very good. Sorry. No, I mean, it's, you know, that's very good, Rick. Yes.
But on the other hand,
we had our producer like that one.
To be honest, I don't think she did.
No.
To be honest, though, we'll do, rather than a joke, a serious quote which I came across, which I think is rather nice and perhaps brings us all back to earth in this time of need and drama throughout the world. I was going to say Western world, but it's not just the Western world, it's the world.
The world.
And it's credited to Mark Twain. And this is a sort of sobering feet back to earth concept. We can't all be winners. Somebody has to sit on the curb and clap as they go by.
Well, there you go.
I like that, don't you?
Yes, very good. Yeah. Very clever. So, and you hadn't written it because it's too clever for you. We've got any other little quotes that you want to quickly tell our listeners?
Well, I've actually been quite struck by a couple of letters that have appeared in there. And they're not been my letters, I might say.
Really?
No. I quite like this one, actually. Is there a level playing field? Many thousands have been put off work with unemployment benefits, their only option. But overpaid AFL players negotiate a 50% pay cut, and the AFL has thrown a $600 million taxpayer lifeline. Maybe I'm looking at this from the wrong end of the ground.
Yeah, I mean, and look, we're just talking before the show, Rick. Is that right that they're going to be getting that $1,500?
Well, it seems to me, I mean, I don't think anybody's actually quite worked out who is
and
who
isn't. You wouldn't like to think they
were. But I think just like that letter, one of the problems that the AFL and the AFL Players Association is going to have to try and look at and manage is the image, because there's a lot of people standing in queues at Centrelink who reckon that half a salary of, you know, 300 grand or whatever they're getting,
million
for doing nothing, for not playing, doesn't qualify them for anything.
I agree.
And whether technically they're entitled to it or not, there is going to be a real problem. And I think even when football gets back to it, if the general public have thought these guys are really being, you know, they've ripped us off, then there's an image problem. A bit like the you know, which is now, they'll get forgiven eventually, but it's a bit like, in a different field altogether, the problem that Cricket Australia faced over the ball tampering, that all of a sudden the pure cricketer, the Smiths, the Warners, the Bancrofts, whatever, hang on, they've been cheating. Now, you can't say technically if an AFL footballer's entitled to this money, he's cheating. But I think morally, big word, but if your salary's dropped from 300 to only 150,000, I reckon you could get by on that for a little while, couldn't you?
Poor buggers, eh?
So I think there's a real problem there. Before we finish, I might just go through another letter that I thought was quite intriguing. Since when have footballers been a protected species? If they are not playing, why should they be paid half of their salary? I imagine most of them are in a better financial position than the people who have had to line up outside Centrelink offices because they are suddenly jobless.
I'm not sure that's quite right because, as we spoke to before, they're probably like a $10 million loan for their house or a $5 million loan for their house, and they're probably up to their debt in
Phil, I reckon you're spot on. The trouble is that you live appropriate to what you're collecting. Absolutely. And, you know, you've heard of many examples of people who are earning millions of dollars a year who haven't got two bob to bless their name with because they live to that style. So these guys on big money playing football have gone out and bought $10 million homes rather than just $1 million homes.
Exactly right.
But that's their problem.
That's right. Exactly they're right. They made that problem.
They're still earning 150 grand more than a lot of people out there lining up. So,
And we didn't really even talk much like sport. You know, we had no scores to give.
Well, there are no scores.
All it was coronavirus. You know,
You've only got to think while we're on that and we've got to go. But you've only got to think about the sport industry sort of, spin-off generated occupations.
Yep.
Let's take sports journos.
Yeah,
what do they do? Hand in an empty column to the advertiser each day.
You see the local papers are finished for a while. Bunyip and the Leader. They're gone.
Heard on the radio that something like 60 country newspapers in New South Wales.
Oh, wow.
So,
It's hit everyone.
I think there's a lot worse to come.
We better wind this up, Rick.
So until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.